Rolene Marks joining us on the line from Israel. A very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. I'm good, and yourself? What a week it has been.
What a week it has been. And, of course, we've had our own issues here in South Africa, but Israel, not exactly simple either, Israel heading once again to the polls. We've had Netanyahu making all sorts of statements that I have to tell you that I'm a little bit skeptical about. I'm not sure that I'm trusting what he's saying right now. And then we have this incident in the United States where there's this comment or report that Israel is allegedly spying on America. Donald Trump denying it, saying he finds that very difficult to believe. What is the story, Rolene? Help us out.
Okay. Let me help you out, Howard. Let me help you out. So let's jump into the spy story, and we're not talking Netflix, Eli Cohen type spying.
We have to talk about that, yeah.
Oh, we do have to talk about that. I tell you, that I'm getting quite into. But a report came out in Politico magazine yesterday that alleges that Israel had put in and around the White House and other places in Washington some cell phone surveillance equipment. Now, as soon as this was announced, and I must just say that Politico is known to be, and you know I hate this whole left-right wing malarkey. Politico is known in certain circles to be extremely leftist. So, you know, there's always the thought that is this some kind of conspiracy theory to try and create tension between two countries? Is it like another angle to politicize Israel yet again in American politics? But no sooner had the statement been made or the report came out than Netanyahu said it's an absolute blatant lie. In fact, he said there is no evidence, and he used the word bupkis. He used the word bupkis. And he released a statement through his office saying that, you know, under no circumstances does Israel allow any kind of spying or any kind of surveillance in America. That is, it's you know, not up for debate. It's just not allowed. And according to this, of course unnamed, Howard, of course unnamed, former American official, he says, you know, he doesn't know whether or not this was successful, if any gathering of information or intel was successful, but he assumes that it was there to spy on Trump and his top aide. Now, the conspiracy theorist in me, or the cynic in me, just depends on how you look at it, thinks that because we have this very, very shock firing of John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, earlier this week, and Trump, and I don't want to say U-turn, I want to say this kind of maneuver towards being amiable to meeting with his Iranian counterpart, Rouhani, and his openness to bail out the Iranian regime should they keep to the nuclear deal. This could be perhaps opportunist on behalf of some elements of American politics. I'm not going to say it's partisan, to try and create a wedge between Israel and the Trump administration. That's my take on it.
Yeah, it is. You might well be right. It's very confusing. And it certainly, although what is interesting to me is that we haven't seen as much Trump presence in this political campaign in Israel this time. So I do wonder if there's been a deliberate decision to separate a bit, or if the change in, or the softening of Donald Trump is maybe causing some concern for Israel, and Bibi thinking maybe it's not going to work in his favor to pull Trump into his new election campaign so much.
Well, I think you raise a very interesting point. You know, we are very concerned about the firing of John Bolton. John Bolton, because of his incredible understanding of the region and the history, the firing has worried many of us in Israel who fear that without his presence there, there is a softening towards Iran. And this comes in these weeks where Prime Minister Netanyahu is exposed to the world revealed just exactly what Mossad found in the extremely daring mission into Tehran to bring back the files that contain the Iranian nuclear program. And, you know, I know that there are these pro-BDS groups now on Twitter and on social media pushing, you know, the only country with nukes must, you know, can't be Iran. We know Iran has nukes. We know what their purposes are, and it's not for alternative kind of energy. And when a country vows to wipe you off the planet and uses their proxies as they have, we tend to take this very, very seriously. And I cannot say we aren't more than a little concerned about President Trump's softening stance towards the Iranians. And it begs the question, you know, many people are so they're absolutely adamant in their opinion. You know, Trump is the best American president for the, for Israel. Look what he's done. Look what he's done. And I think sometimes we need to take a step back and we need to look at, the man, dare I say his character. Trump is very much a disruptor, and he will do what is best for the United States before he does what's best for any other country. And I also think, you know, we need to look at his type of negotiation skills. He will make major concessions on one hand, but then he's going to expect concessions that are just as big and you know, as daring. And it might not be a popular opinion, but this is my take on where we are sitting at the moment. We have to be a little bit more circumspect.
Well, and shouldn't we, in any event, we should have been like this from the get-go, where you look at it, where you look at the actions of any president anywhere in the world, and we have we've got a God-given intellect that says, you know what, I can agree with something, but I can also disagree with something else. And we don't need to paint, you know, and I've always spoken about this, people that loved Obama loved him without reserve. And it actually is possible to love Obama but criticize him for certain decisions. And it's absolutely possible to love Donald Trump and criticize him for other decisions as well, and the opposite way around. We've got to be able to do that. And the way in which social media, unfortunately, or we've allowed ourselves to be pigeonholed and to be locked into a certain narrative, and then locking ourselves into that narrative, is extremely dangerous and unbelievably stupid.
I have to say I agree with you, and I think this is why we have seen less of a presence of Trump as we approach the elections on Tuesday. You know, it was a major shocker to hear, you know, to see the reaction and to hear his comments, although they were taken slightly out of context about, you know, Democrats or Jews who vote Democrats are disloyal,
I think they were completely out of context. From the get-go, I never thought that that he was saying Jews are disloyal to America. I think he was saying that Jews are disloyal to themselves. And you can disagree with that or not, but that's just, it's a view. I'm not sure it's a terrible thing to have said, you know, but all right, that's just my view.
Look, the man is known for not being, you know, greatly tactful, but also it's brought tactful to the fore the politicizing of Israel and Jews in global politics. And I think Israeli parties are recognizing that, and I don't think they want to politicize, you know, American politics in Israeli politics as we approach next week. And next week is going to be extremely, extremely interesting. Looking at this week, I think we have and I'm with you, I'm very concerned about statements that Prime Minister Netanyahu is making. I don't think that there are statements he can necessarily deliver on should he be elected and successful next week. We also may have a situation next week where we go to deadlock, as we did before, and we can't afford a third election. And will it fall on the other Benjamin, Benny Gantz, to form a coalition? But I tell you who is standing the strongest in the midst of all of this, and that is Avigdor Lieberman, Yisrael Biteinu. He seems to be the one stable ship in this very tumultuous pre-election waters. And a lot of us, when Prime Minister Netanyahu made his statement on, I think it was Wednesday, thought, what are you thinking? You're making these foolish statements that are not going to win us any favor in the global community. It's certainly cause for concern of the Israeli electorate. He's coming across looking extremely desperate. One pundit who I spoke to earlier this week said to me, he's almost like a wounded animal that is lashing out and making these sweeping statements. He's appealing very, very much to the ultra-right, because he knows that it's pushing away a lot of his electorate, a lot of his ability to form a coalition if he brings them into the Likud fold. And he could be fired by his party on Tuesday if he does not win that election. So we have a prime minister who really is fighting for his political life. And, you know, one just hopes that the Israeli electorate, who is quite cynical at the moment, shows up to vote on Tuesday.
Is there a chance that people are going to say, oh, I actually just can't do this anymore, and not show up to vote? Or will the fact that there's a deadlock the last time have the opposite reaction?
Excellent question, and one that is a concern for major parties. And I think over the course of today, Sunday and Monday, we're going to start seeing a massive push from everybody. We had news yesterday that Facebook had put the Prime Minister's chat box into Facebook jail for language that was perceived as racist. And the concern amongst many is that people have become fed up and cynical and would rather take advantage of these last days of summer and go to the beach. I'm hoping that Israelis will not allow for deadlock, whatever the decision may be. And I certainly don't endorse any candidates publicly, but my hope is that Israelis go to the poll. The gift of democracy is not something, even though we're fed up with having two elections in 1 year, we cannot underestimate this tremendous gift of democracy that we have.
Is Tuesday a holiday again in Israel?
Tuesday will be a holiday. I mean, it always fascinates me that elections fall on a Tuesday, but Tuesday will be a holiday. I mean, Howard, don't even think of going to Tel Aviv, really. You're just not going to find any parking. But
everyone's going to be at the beach. I just hope that people do get out to vote. And it's quite a scary, I think it's quite unnerving, because there is a high level, certainly from my perception, of desperation. And desperation means irresponsible comments. Comments lead to all sorts of things. So I do hope that that there is an element of rationality and maturity that prevails over the course of the next few days, so that that Israel can actually get on with having an election, choosing leadership, and carry on their lives in the best way possible.
Amen for amen.